Irish Illustrated Insider subscribers. This is Drew Mentock. I'm back with the 23rd episode of our bi-weekly podcast series on the feed, Irish Illustrated Interviews. Today, we're sharing my conversation with James Rendell. Notre Dame's punter during the college football playoff run in 2024 and last fall, James came to Notre Dame by way of Melbourne, Australia. There, he grew up playing Australian rules football before learning to punt at Pro Kick Australia, the country's premier punting and kicking academy. Eventually, his skills impressed Fighting Irish special teams coordinator Marty Biaggi, who offered him a scholarship to Notre Dame in the spring of 2024. Our conversation dives into James's upbringing, becoming a double domer in just 2 years, playing his first ever football game in front of more than 100,000 fans, being named a Ray Guy semifinalist, and his pursuit of a career in the NFL. Here's my interview with James. What's up, everyone? I'm here with James Rendell, Notre Dame's punter during the 2024 playoff run and last fall. Of course, you came to South Bend by way of Australia, where you grew up playing Australian rules football before pivoting to American football. Today, you're pursuing a career in the NFL. James, thank you so much for being here with me today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So I always start off by asking all my guests on this podcast how they first heard of Notre Dame. What's their first recollection? A lot of times it might be pretty young. I'm guessing with you, that's probably a different path growing up so far away, not around even the game of football. So what's the first time do you recall hearing of Notre Dame?
Yeah, look, Notre Dame really does have a global brand. You know, I would see people all the time in Australia wearing Notre Dame apparel. But I guess I kind of first, you know, became infatuated with college football when I was watching on TV. I remember watching the national championship games on TV with my dad, you know, back when Alabama and Clemson were in pretty much in the national championship every year. And I kind of became really obsessed with it from then onwards. And I would watch all the ESPN 30 for 30 documentaries, one of those being the Catholics versus Convicts one, where, you know, one of my friends who I've met through Notre Dame now, Pat Walsh, was the star of that show, who created those shirts. So, you know, it's pretty cool that, you know, so many years later on that I've been able to meet Pat and, you know, we've built a great relationship. But Notre Dame, it's everywhere. It's worldwide. I actually remember the day I got offered a scholarship to Notre Dame. I wasn't allowed to tell anyone, but I had a friend's birthday party later on that evening, and someone was wearing like a vintage Notre Dame jacket there. So I had to not to say anything, but it just goes to show, you know, how powerful of a brand that ND Monogram is.
So is it something just were familiar with the monogram, or how kind of before kind of watching Catholics versus Convicts, were you familiar with what that actually like stood for, or I guess representing a college potentially?
Yeah. Look, I had never been to the US until I came over here in May 2024. So it's not like I was around college sports growing up, but obviously, you know, you'd see the college sports on TV and, you know, everyone's well aware that Notre Dame is such a big, historic, traditional, powerful brand. It wasn't like that I'd grown up around it, but, you know, you were always sort of aware, you know, when you think of US sports, you think of, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, you think of the New York Yankees, you know, Boston Red Sox, the LA Lakers, and Notre Dame. I wasn't, you know, entirely familiar with, you know, the college and just how special it is, because you can't really grasp and get an understanding of that until you get over here and experience it for yourself. I remember the first day I got here to Notre Dame in May 2024, you know, after like 30 hours of traveling, I was pretty jet lagged, but I remember taking a walk around campus and I just straight away fell in love with it. So it's a really special place, and you can feel that in the atmosphere when you're there on campus in South Bend.
As I mentioned, you grew up playing Australian rules football. I'm curious if you kind of explain the difference. I know there's also rugby league, rugby union, and then Australian rules football. I think people up here maybe don't really understand the difference, or even if there's different games. Can you kind of explain that and describe, especially Australian rules football, which, as I mentioned, you grew up playing and I know your dad played?
Yeah, of course. Look, so many people over here think I played rugby, but I have to try and to explain it to them that I played Australian football, which is a little bit different. It's kind of tricky to explain. The best advice I give to people is just to check it out on YouTube. But essentially, it's played on a big oval. I don't, are you familiar with like Gaelic football, Irish football at all? Because that's probably
Yes.
the sport that it is most similar to. They actually used to play an international rule series with Australia, the best players from the Australian Football League versus the best players from the Irish Football League. And they would kind of mix and match the rules a little bit and play an international series there. But I think they had to stop because there was too many fights going on or something, which, I guess makes sense with Australians and Irish. But look, it's played on a big oval, a lot bigger than the size of an American football field. It's probably, I don't know the exact dimensions off the top of my head, but it's probably, at twice the length, if not more. But it's also very wide as well. It's played on a big oval. You're 18 players aside for each team, so there's 36 players on the ground at any given time, with a few on the bench, and they rotate through. But essentially, you're trying to the ball is in a constant scrimmage, so it's live 24/7. It entails a lot of cardio, a lot of endurance running. But essentially, it's full contact, no pads or anything like that. So you can get tackled from anywhere. But you're trying to advance the ball up the ground till you can get within range of the goal. So they have goalposts, kind of like American goalposts, but then they'll have two big ones and then a set of two smaller ones just off to the side of that. And if you kick the ball or punt the ball through the big sticks, you get 6 points. And the referee, or we call them the umpire, they'll bring it back to the middle, throw it up, and then it's back into a scrimmage again. So it's constantly going. There's four 20-minute quarters, but they stop the clock if there's a stoppage. So if the ball goes out of bounds, or anything like that, the ref will throw the ball back into play, and it's back into a scrimmage. But the primary way of moving the ball is by foot. So, Americans grow up throwing the ball in the backyard, with their siblings or their parents or friends or whatever. But we grew up kicking the ball back to each other, So I've pretty much been kicking a ball since I could walk. So it's kind of a natural transition into becoming a punter, although there are some intricacies regarding technique and things. It's a little bit different and requires a lot of muscle memory. But at the same time, you're just trying to kick the ball. So it's something that I've done ever since I could walk. And it's no surprise that there's a lot of Australians that kind of make their way over into the American football pipeline, because kicking a ball is something that comes pretty naturally to us, and it's also really enjoyable as well. So I
And
hope that
you,
explains it.
no, definitely. And I appreciate it. I've watched it a little bit, but I mean, it's, I guess, easier to understand than cricket is for me, but it's still something that I came across as foreign. So I know you pursued Australian rules football for a while professionally. When did you decide to kind of make the switch over to pursuing punting? I know you went to Pro Kick Australia, which I feel like has produced a ton of college and NFL punters too. When did you kind of decide to make that pivot?
So like I was sort of alluding to before, I remember watching the national championship game with my dad on the couch. I think it was 2016, and he sort of planted that seed in my mind that punting is something that I could do in the future, because he knew a guy named Nathan Chapman, who is the head coach at Pro Kick Australia. I think they played together 1 year when they were both playing football back in the 80s or 90s or something like that. So he kind of planted that seed in my mind then and there. But obviously, at that point in time, I was 16 years old. I was trying to pursue my own Australian Football League ambitions. And in Australia, you get drafted when you finish high school. So when you're 18 years old, because there's no college sports system in Australia. In Australia, the college system is pretty much, you got like three universities in every city, and you pretty much just go there to study. There's no sports affiliated with the colleges. So I think the educational system is far better over here. But anyway, getting a little bit off track there. So the seed was planted in my mind when I was 16, and then I was pursuing my own AFL ambitions. Missed out on the draft, although I felt I was pretty close. So then I went and played in the probably the equivalent of the NFL's UFL or the NBA's G League. It was like the backup league where guys that, I'd even play against guys that were on AFL rosters, but weren't getting a game. So, and, you know, competing with them, doing pretty well. But the AFL thing just wasn't eventuating. And I tried to come out, you know, and get over here, you know, in 2021, but COVID was happening. And Melbourne, where I was living, was, it was hit pretty hard by restrictions and all those sort of things. We couldn't even go 5 kilometers down the road to the grocery store without being hassled by police, let alone travel across the world to America. So I kind of had to put it all on hold for a little bit. And then, you know, meanwhile, I knew it was something I'd always wanted to do. And I kept taking a keen interest in college football. I'd watch it all the time. And then it really wasn't until my dad ended up suddenly passing away in 2023, in late June 2023, that you know, I remember just thinking like, this is it, I'm going to do it now. And you know, that's when I went back down to Pro Kick and just went all in, all chips in, and just really enjoyed the process, to be honest. I just embraced the work, and I knew I'd eventually get a scholarship somewhere, but they kind of match you up with the college. You don't really get a say like some of these high school recruits do in America coming out, that, you know, might have 30 different offers. They kind of set you up with a school, and away you go. So I just embraced the work and just, you know, put my head down and my butt up and just really, really enjoyed the process. And then, you know, it was fortunate enough to get myself into a position where I was at a level where a college like Notre Dame, you know, gave me this opportunity. So that's kind of how it happened. So, yeah.
And what you mentioned, there are some maybe different intricacies between how you kick the ball. What are some of the things that you kind of had to work on early on that were maybe different than what you were used to?
Yeah, so I know it looks pretty simple on TV, but punting a ball is it's quite difficult. Well, it's simple. Objectively, it's simple. You're trying to kick the ball high and far in the other direction, but it's very difficult to do consistently. And you know, when you add in, you know, things like game variables, like, you know, a rush coming at you, a snap, the weather, all these sorts of things can affect the punt. But essentially, you've got 1.2 seconds to catch the ball, and then you've got to mold it. And, you know, the first thing they teach you is you want the ball facing, you want the ball on like a little bit of an angle. So it's facing 11 o'clock. So it's easier to hit a spiral off the boot. So, and then you want to point the laces out so you're not kicking the laces. So that's the first part, catching the ball, catching the snap. And then if you're a right footer, you want to get it, you know, directly over your right leg. If it's in the middle, you're going to drop it inside and you're going to have to slice across it. But if it's a centimeter or you know, half an inch too far to the right, you're going to kick it off the side of the foot and it's going to go sideways out of bounds. So there's very small margin for error. And then you've got 1.2 seconds. So you got to get it out there. And you know, so many different things can affect the way you hit the ball. You got to take into account your forward momentum, your leg swing. You want a nice swing up through the ball, but you also, you know, want your momentum going forward. It's difficult to explain the intricacies of it. But if you've ever played golf, you understand how just a small subtle change can affect your golf shot drastically. But at the end of the day, they kind of break you down. When I went down to Pro Kick, they kind of broke you down from what your original Aussie rules style of kicking was to try and build you back up into what punting and American football requires. So it's very, very technical. And, you know, at times, you know, I was probably prone to becoming too technical with it, because at the end of the day, when you're out there in a punt period or in a game, you want to be subconscious with it. Like, yes, there's a time to think about it consciously away when you're in practice. When you're, you know, maybe with a coach in the off season and whatnot. And that's when you're building those reps of muscle memory to get it exactly how you want it. But when it comes to performance time, you kind of want to put all that aside. And you know, what something that really helped me was just picking a target and kicking to it. So you want to, yeah. Yes, it's very technical, and you know, there's so many different ways of improving or, you know, making variances in your technique. But at the same time, you have to come back to okay, it's just kicking a football. Let's have some fun. So yeah, it can be very technical, and I'm just every day I'm out here, training. I feel like I'm getting better. So it's a never ending process that's always continuously evolving. You can always get better. So yeah.
Nice. And you mentioned you kind of got situated with Notre Dame, wasn't, the normal recruiting process we might be familiar with. But what was, do you remember like how that first came through, where that was a program you were put in touch with, and did Coach Biagi come see you or anything like that? How did that kind of happen when you decided on Notre Dame and you knew you had that offer?
I think the punter that was here previously ended up in a portal or something like that. So he needed a punter kind of close, would have been April. But yeah, I just remember the coaches down at ProKick told me that I would be performing for the they were interested in, because I'd gathered up a bit of film that they send over. And they just told me I'd be performing for Notre Dame today. And well, I must have kicked pretty well, because later on that day I was offered a scholarship there. And then but yeah, Coach Biagi in the following weeks did come down and meet me and my family as well, which meant a lot to me. Because as a I guess as a trying to think as a parent, like, my mum was a bit concerned about what I was doing. I don't think she fully understood the journey that I was about to go on. So I think she really appreciated as well. The coach coming out to see me and visit me. So that was greatly appreciated. But yeah, it kind of all happened very quickly. But in life, when opportunities present themselves, you just got to be ready and take them. And that means you got to be putting in the work to put yourself in the position to first get the opportunity, but then also to capitalize on it when it comes.
And so, what was that like? I think you committed. You mentioned like late April, early May of 2024. I assume you're coming over a month later for summer workouts and things like that. What was that process like to, I'm guessing you're dealing with visas and all that stuff. What was it like to kind of transition your life so quickly to coming over to America, which, as you mentioned, you hadn't been to before?
Look, I was pretty diligent with my research. And obviously, once I joined ProKick, I knew I was eventually going to end up in the US within the next 6 months. So it wasn't like it was completely foreign to me in terms of understanding what I was getting myself into. The visa process isn't always as smooth as you would have liked. Had to get a few kind of expedited appointments to get over here. But yeah, I remember when I got here, it was obviously warm. It was heading into summer, and I thought, wow, this is unbelievable. I can't picture this place being cold. But little did I know what was going to come in winter. But the best thing about Notre Dame is the people here, and they were so welcoming. As soon as I got there, I just felt right at home. And that goes from the head coach to the administration to any sort of staff there, but then obviously the locker room as well. And I think Notre Dame is a place that recruits guys from all over the country, all over the world. A few guys from Canada as well on the team. So it was almost like I was in this situation with 100 other guys, where not many of them were from South Bend, Indiana. So I was right at home with the locker room. The guys were so welcoming, and I really enjoyed it. Had a great summer. Some of my best memories, the summer workouts on a Friday afternoon, and you're just with the guys getting after it. So, besides the travel, I mean, it was a long flight. Our flight got delayed as well, so it ended up being literally like 30 something hours
Oh,
doorstep to
wow.
door. But mum came over with me when I initially got there as well, and she was just blown away by how beautiful the campus was. So yeah, it kind of happened all quickly, but at the same time, I was prepared for anything. And it really it was everything I imagined and more.
And what was it like? I mean, I remember going to some of your first practices that August. What was it like when you first, I know you've been working out and punting, and I'm guessing so wore pads or at least a helmet when doing some of those things. What was it like to actually be out on a football field for a practice for the first time and doing some of those things?
Oh, it was great fun. One thing that I will say is I feel like the practice sessions here in college are so much more structured. I think Australian football has a lot to learn from that. It's everything's down to the millisecond. The coaches got the whistles in their mouth. Everyone's running around in between drills. They know exactly where they need to be. So I remember that was just my first kind of thought when my first day at practice was just, wow, like this is it. We're going. Like it's go time. And then yeah, I remember, punting in practice, it was a lot of fun. I'm like, this is what I'm here to do. Let's go have some fun with it. Coaches trust me, teammates trust me. I trust myself. I've got to repay that faith they've put in me. So, it was a lot of fun. And just learning about the sport of American football. Obviously, it's so different to Australian football. I remember I ended up buying the college football game on PlayStation. I didn't even have a PlayStation. I bought one just to get the college football game, just to learn, the different terminology of American football. The different coverages are and defense and spy versus double coverage and the different types of routes that players can run and things like that and different types of plays and to be honest, I still feel like I've got a while to go in terms of fully grasping the game, but I quickly fell in love with it. I think it's like a big game of chess, to be honest. There's a lot of strategy involved with it. It's all about decision making and then execution. But yeah, thoroughly enjoyed training and practice just as much as games, to be honest. And I think that's because that was the environment that the coaches fostered that, practice was the most important thing. I remember one time, I think Coach Freeman said it was just a random Tuesday, and he's like, this is the most important day of your lives. And it's true because that's the only day you've got, really. Like yesterday's gone, tomorrow's not here yet. All you've got is today. So they were really big on just enforcing that, our training standards and habits need to be exceptional. And, we never really even thought about game day until later in the week, until we got there. It was all about winning the day, in the days leading up to it. So, yeah.
It's pretty funny. I think that was the first summer where the game came back to college football 25. But I think that's funny because I think that's also how I learned a lot of the intricacies of the game. I didn't grow up playing it much. So learning about defenses and even what like a linebacker is when I was a little kid, like I think
Yeah.
that's where a lot of people get it from too. So then you get through fall camp. Your first game is in Kyle Field. Ever college football game or football game in general, over 100,000 fans. It was obviously a close game. What was that like to kind of step into that environment? I don't know how big maybe some of the games were in terms of crowd size back in Australia when you played or just in general, but what was that atmosphere like to step in and kind of just get thrown into a situation where obviously that was a game you needed to win to eventually make the playoffs too?
Yeah, it was so surreal. One of the best nights of my life as well. Just to be out there with the guys, and we'd been working all summer for that moment just to get there. And I remember walking out of the stadium, and Kyle Field is like, obviously Notre Dame Stadium is more like a bowl. It goes back, so it doesn't feel like the crowd's on top of you. It doesn't feel like there's 80,000 there. But obviously Kyle Field goes straight up, so it feels like they're on top of you, and you feel every bit of the 110,000 fans, but it's awesome. I really fed off the energy, I think. I really enjoyed it, and it was my first ever American football game I'd seen with my own eyes, and I was playing in it, and as the game progressed, I settled into it a little bit more and really enjoyed it. And like you said, it was a close game. It's kind of a back and forth affair until we pulled away in the last couple of minutes. But it was an electric atmosphere, and I just thought, wow, like it's going to be hard to top this. Like, my first ever game here, and it was so fun. And to get away, get come away with the win as well in that sort of hostile environment, it was just a blessing to be a part of that, to be honest.
And what was it like kind of adjusting to the mentality of an Australian rules football? I think assume you're a lot more involved with the game. You're not just on the field for a real short period of time just to do your specific job. What was it like to kind of adjust to that pressure of, you really only have a few moments and you know, if you make a mistake, it's kind of more noticed than it would otherwise. And how do you think maybe adjusting to that mentality mentality helped you progress throughout that first season?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you can, try and mentally prepare for it as much as you can, but I think experience is the best teacher. And you're right. My role as a punter was extremely different to myself playing Australian football, where you're continuously involved in the play. So there was a real probably adjustment period for the first, few games for me, fitting into my role where I have about 30 seconds where I'm out on the field and 1.2 seconds with the football. To do something good with it. But I guess, yeah, it was certainly a challenge I had to overcome at the start, was just understanding what I need to do for myself to stay in an optimal state physically and mentally to go and execute my role to help the team win. Early on, some games I would punt too much in the warm-ups because we would get to the stadium, 2.5 hours early, and we'd go out and I'd kick a few balls and then I'd go inside and then I'd put my pads and my helmet on. And then I'd go back outside and kick some more balls. And then we'd go inside. And then we'd come out and the game would start. And then it might be an hour until I come out and have my first punt. I remember some games I didn't punt until the last quarter because our offense was pretty good, which is fine by me. I'm just happy as long as we win. But certainly, those were some of the challenges I had to overcome. And, I wish, looking back on it now, I was a bit easier on myself as I was, but at the same time, everyone expects results of you. No one's going to hold myself to higher standards than myself and my own expectations. But yeah, certainly as I progressed into the season, I just had a routine down pat of what I needed to do to get myself feeling right, physically and mentally, to go out there and execute. Yeah, I think that would show in the results as well. There's a steady incline in improvement there as well. But that's just part of sports. So I don't regret anything. At the end of the day, it's made me better now. So yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with that too. For I mean, you look at the end of that first season at USC, obviously that was a huge game. You had two punts, average 51 yards per punt in the playoffs. Georgia had a couple big punts for average 43.4 yards against Penn State. All of your punts were down inside the 20, and then averaged 48.5 yards per punt against Ohio State too. So by the end of the season, if I mean just looking at the numbers, I would say yeah, you. Looks like you were getting a much better hang of things. So I'm kind of curious about the process after that first year. Obviously, you go on the big playoff run. I know there was some uncertainty, at least for a little bit, on if you would be granted a second year. What was it like going through that, maybe that uncertainty? Obviously, you'd just gotten over here, 5 or 6 months previously. What was that process like, and what did you have to do to get back for another year?
Yeah, so I knew I'd be coming back for 2 years. It was kind of the next year that I was hoping get eligibility back, which was kind of disappointing with NCAA's decision, considering I had genuine grounds for a waiver to come back. But ultimately they denied the request, and which is interesting. It doesn't seem to be a whole lot of consistency with the NCAA in terms of what they approve or deny. But at the end of the day, I couldn't be more grateful and appreciative for the 2 years that I did get. A little bit disappointing, didn't get to come back for another year. And I know the boys are all fired up to get some revenge next season, considering how last season finished. I played my last game at Stanford without even realizing it was going to be my last. We thought we had the playoff run ahead of us. And then I was anticipating I would get another year as well. But I remember that decision from the NCAA came in on the Friday, and this was early December, that I wouldn't be getting another year. And then the playoff committee show was on the Sunday. So going into Friday morning, I thought I had a playoff run ahead of me and another year. But Friday afternoon, this decision came through, and I thought, well, at least I've got the playoff run ahead of me. And then Sunday comes around and we get left out of the playoffs.
Oh,
So
man.
I was pretty disappointed with that. It was a double whammy. At the end of the day, it just goes to show you can't take anything for granted. All you've got is the moment that you in the present moment right now. So yeah, like I said, at the end of the day, it is what it is. And, I still got to play 2 years at the University of Notre Dame, which is such a blessing. And the experiences and the relationships I've built in the 2 years that I was there are enough to last a lifetime.
And I did ask, and I'm sorry, that's got to be a tough way for things to end, but you did have a really good last season. I don't know if everyone listening knows this, but you were a Ray Guy Award semifinalist. You were the Ray Guy Puncher of the Week, I think, for your performance against USC as well. So you had some obvious improvements. So how did you feel like maybe you got better last season, and what did you kind of take away from that? Even though, and I think maybe the reason you weren't even maybe a finalist for the award is potentially because you only punted 25 times because Notre Dame went for it so much in fourth down and the offense was humming so much.
Look, I think it's just the consistency of your work, like showing up in the results. And I'm a big believer in immersing yourself in the process and looking after the process, and the results will start to come for themselves. And looking back, I still feel like I still haven't really showcased my true colors, if that makes sense. I still feel like there's a lot more gas in the tank, and even where I am now from when I finished this season, I've just improved a lot, which I guess you can come to expect considering I've only really been punting for, just 2.5 years really. But yeah, I think just, having a whole nother, well, I had my first ever spring ball as well, and then into the summer and then into fall camp. So I've got the full cycle leading into the season. And, I never really once ever doubted myself. I wouldn't say that, but certainly at times there might have been times where I was disappointed or expected more out of myself in the first season. But certainly in the second year, just through the sheer banking of reps in the off season, you are able to trust yourself a lot more in those situations. Not that I ever didn't really trust myself before, but it sort of becomes just second nature. And I just remember having a lot more fun with it as well, particularly in those big games like USC, or unfortunately we didn't win against Texas A&M or Miami, but I really enjoyed the big stage and playing in those big games, and kind of fed off that excitement as well. So I guess I would say the improvements just come with experience and just banking reps.
And I have to ask you, I apologize if I missed this, but I know you're 6'6". Obviously, you 225 pounds, or at least that's what you're listed at. Obviously, you played another physical sport where you ran around a lot. I think we all, especially in the media, thought when you came to Notre Dame, you would be involved in some of Marty Biaggi's fake punts and or at least getting the ball. I don't think you ever did. Were there any plays or things in practice where you were a little more involved with, or did you expect maybe you might get thrown in to get the ball at some point in your career?
Yeah, we potentially did have a couple of things up our sleeve. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. Hopefully, Jasper might be able to be the beneficiary of some in future. But we certainly did run a lot of fakes. I think I made a block. I've got 100% blocking grade now on
Nice.
ESPN. I think it was one against Arkansas. But yeah, I might have to apply for a role in Hollywood soon for all the acting I did, pretending the ball was going over my head or running one way or the other. So there was a lot of acting involved in it, but I was just happy to play my part. That's what football is. It's 11 guys on the field at the same time playing their part. When we're talking about improvements in my results earlier, like, it's not all on me as well. You got 10 other guys out in the field with you, whether that's a long snapper, shout out to Joe Vincey, who was there with me for 2 years, putting the ball where I need it. You got the guys in protection who you trust to block for you, and then you got your gunners releasing down the field, forcing a fair catch or a tackle if need be. So it's what football is. It's a whole, it's a bunch of little cogs, rotating around to make the machine move. And everyone has a role to play. And the best thing about Notre Dame was all the guys on the team absolutely embraced their roles and did them to the best of their ability.
Awesome. And you mentioned Jasper Scafie, who's Notre Dame's new punter. He's also from Australia. What did you have any pre-existing relationship with him? Did you talk to him about this opportunity? And do you feel maybe a little bit you kind of helped pave the way for an Australian punter to come to Notre Dame?
Hopefully, it's a pipeline that's, for years to come. But no, I hadn't met Jasper until he got over here in January, and got to, we'd exchange a few texts and whatnot once he signed. But he's such a great dude. I'm really excited to see how he goes this year. The specialist room is in good hands. Eric Schmidt there as well is very talented, and then all the kickers there as well are rock solid. I've been able to get to work with him a little bit over the spring and the summer. So they're in all good hands there, especially Coach Biagi and Coach Schmidt, at the helm, leading those guys. But Jasper is a terrific dude, very talented, and hardworking and diligent. So I'm excited to see how he goes. And I'm stoked that he's at Notre Dame, because I know he was on an AFL list, and he was kind of at the crossroads, I think, with continuing his Aussie rules career, or coming over here. And I just reassured him that he definitely made the right decision in coming over here. And he'll find out pretty soon when he's playing in his first game just how special college football is. Glad he ended up at Notre Dame, and it was definitely nice to have a familiar accent around me when I was finishing my degree there in spring.
That's awesome. And what did you major in?
So I did a master's of nonprofit administration in 2024, and then I did a master's in business analytics last year. So double domer in 2 years. That might be a new record, but
Yeah.
Take it. But that was a good thing about Notre Dame, was you got the best athletes on the field that you're competing with during practice, and then you go into the classroom and you're competing with some of the brightest, most astute academic people across the country. So you really do get the best of both worlds at Notre Dame, and I think that's why it's such an attractive college for people that care about their future, not just sports, but their future as well to come to.
You mentioned you were working or finishing up your second master's this spring. You've also been pursuing a career path in the NFL. I know you had a mi rookie mini camp invite with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know you're still out west training and things like that. Can you kind of talk a little bit about that process and some of the things you're going through right now?
Yeah, sure. Definitely have ambitions of playing in the NFL, and that's something that I'm going to continue to pursue for the next little period of my life. I absolutely love punting, and I feel I've grown so much as a person and a punter through my own experiences the last 2 years, and I still feel like I've got a lot of room for growth in me as well. And I absolutely love what I do. I love American football. I love Australian football, but I also love American football now, and I think you can love both at the same time. But I get excited every time before I go out and punt. So it's something that I love doing, and therefore I think it's worthwhile, definitely pursuing a future in that. And had the mini camp there. The Buccaneers went, really well. Got along well with all the coaches and established relationships there. But right now, just out west training out here with a couple of other guys as a free agents, and just immersing myself in the work and the training, and just getting better every day, and not too worried about outcomes or results or anything like that. I think as an athlete, sometimes you forget that you're only entitled to the work and the labor, but you're not always entitled to the fruits that that labor bears. So it's certainly not lost on me that, the work is the most important thing, and you immerse yourself in the process, and the outcomes will look after themselves. So, certainly out here, training hard every day, and excited for my future, whatever happens. But definitely still trying to pursue a career in football.
Yeah, I think people forget too that I think that mentality makes a lot of sense because especially I think the specialist positions, there's so few of those in the NFL too, and there's so many people trying to make. So I'm sure there's that mentality and waiting, as you mentioned, for the opportunity to come to Notre Dame. I'm sure it's kind of a waiting thing too, where you're just hoping to get that chance to prove yourself, I would think.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think a lot of parallels can be drawn with my experience of getting over here to college as to where I am now. You know, like I was alluding to before, I knew I'd get a scholarship to a college, but I had no idea who it would be to. And yeah, when the opportunity presented itself, I was ready and I took advantage of it. So I feel like I've kind of already experienced this kind of situation at the moment. I know how to handle it. But you know, it's really how it is in sports, how it is in life. You know, when an opportunity presents itself, you've got to be ready to take it. You know, I know Coach Landau, our strength and conditioning coach here at Notre Dame. He's a great coach, great person, but he always used to tell us that when the opportunity of a lifetime presents itself, you have to act within the lifetime of that opportunity. And that's a quote I remember. And I guess that just speaks to one, staying ready so you don't have to be ready, but also understanding and recognizing when an opportunity is there and taking advantage of it. So, you know, that's kind of the mindset I'm in at the moment.
And are you in contact, or have you touched base with, just out of curiosity, any? I know Notre Dame doesn't have any punters in the NFL, but I know they have a couple of specialists and like long snappers like JJ Jansen or Scott Daly and Brandon Aubrey, who obviously played soccer at Notre Dame, or Blake Griffey. Do you talk to any of those guys?
Yeah, very familiar with Blake and Spencer, and then you know, exceptional kickers, and then obviously Scott Daly as well. I've got some work in with him in the past as well. But you know, I've met a lot of Notre Dame's former specialists through the specialist camp that Coach Biagi and Coach Schmidt put together every year. You know, they do a really good job of inviting back the previous specialists. Of multiple generations, you know, those guys back to the 70s and 80s that I've met and connected with, and now I've
Oh,
built
well.
relationships through that, which is awesome, I think. And it's so awesome to be able to communicate with those guys and discuss their experiences and share our own experiences. And we're all just really brought together by this connection of Notre Dame football. And you know, sometimes I guess a specialist position is overlooked, but everyone that does it actually really loves what they do. Like I love punting a football. I know it's kind of a really niche interest, but yeah, I take a lot of pride in what I do. But yeah, look, it's always good to reach out into your network of other specialists because you're all kind of going through similar things, and you know, it's always good to bounce ideas off them and also gain some wisdom from them at times as well.
The last thing I want to ask you about, I know you mentioned the guys want to get revenge this year. I'm kind of curious and maybe your thoughts on this upcoming season and what you think it might be like to transition from being a player to an alumni and I guess a better connected fan, but still a fan and watching on Saturdays instead of being on the sideline.
Yeah, I'm excited for them to be honest. You know, they got a lot of talent within that group. You know, I think the team chemistry is great. You know, obviously, you know, with Coach Freeman and his staff at the helm, you know, anything's possible. He's such a great leader of men and always has the right message for the guys at the right time. So I'm excited. I know he won't be talking about, you know, the playoffs or anything like that at this stage. They'll be talking about, you know, right now probably leading into full camp, just having a great full camp, day one of full camp and day two of full camp and just stacking days like that. And then obviously they'll be rolling into to Green Bay, Wisconsin to start the year, which I'm excited to see what they do. But you know, love all those guys in the locker room still, everyone on the staff, you know, the relationships that I'll have for life. And yeah, really excited to see what they do this year. Hopefully I can get to a few games here or there. But I'm excited for it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here with me today, James.
No worries. Pleasure to be on. Thank you.
Awesome. And everyone listening, we'll be back again in 2 weeks. Bye.